Now, though, have a listen to this.
One last throw of the dice. It's all on this from Queenie Kelleher. Scales is up after it. Scales wins the header. There's a chance.
Yes!
Oh, there's the goal. There's the goal. Yes! That's Troy Parrott. That is unbelievable. He scored a hat-trick. And right at the death, Ireland have done it. I've never seen anything like it. Absolutely remarkable. Right at the end, Hungary have been caught. They were hanging on, it seems like, for the whole night. Certainly when it went 2-2, this is just stunning. 3-2, the time is up. The referee has to finish the game. I've no voice left.
There you go, that was that game. We thought we were on our way to the World Cup after that one. It wasn't to be beaten in the end by Czechia, where we had a chance to try and get through. But we won't be part of it. We will be part of the UEFA Nations League, and we are drawn in that against Israel, of course. And that's where all the controversy started. A decision made yesterday by the board of the FAI to not play the October 4th home venue of that game in Dublin. It's going to be played now, perhaps maybe in Hungary, the country we beat and knocked out of the World Cup, but behind closed doors in that country. There are two motions down this week for discussion in the Oireachtas. One of them is a private member's motion, which will hit the floor at all tomorrow morning. That's been sponsored by the Social Democrats. And with me on the line is Deputy Sinead Gibney, who is Deputy for Dunleary, right down for the Social Democrats and a party spokesperson in a number of different areas. Sinead, good morning to you and thanks for joining me in the programme.
Thanks so much for having me, Gerry. Delighted to be here. And can I just start by saying, come on, you girls in green. Hopefully
indeed,
they'll bring us through
fingers
to the
crossed.
World Cup.
That would be brilliant. That would be absolutely brilliant. Their big game tonight against France. You're going to be coming to Kerry on Thursday. We'll talk about that in a moment. But talk to me now about your motion. And does it change now the FAI have made their decision? This game will not at least be going ahead in Ireland. It'll be going ahead abroad behind closed doors with no fans.
It doesn't change it, and we anticipated that that was a potential move from the FAI. We knew from our own intel that that was potentially what they were looking at, and of course they haven't actually formally announced it yet. They're waiting until after the Ireland-France match tonight. But what we're seeking to do is to push the government to advocate for the exclusion of Israel from all international sporting competitions, and then to support any sports governing body here in Ireland to boycott any competitions where Israel does remain as a participant. And the reason for that is because of the ongoing genocide in Gaza, where 75,000 men, women and children have been killed, their ongoing occupation of the West Bank, their ongoing occupation of Lebanon, and the atrocities that they are inflicting on this world and on global order. And we cannot stand, we cannot have the Israeli anthem play alongside our players, we cannot have our team be complicit in the sports washing and our state, our national team be complicit in the sports washing of this genocide. That's why we're putting this motion forward, and I hope that the government supports it.
What do you want the government to do? They're insisting it's nothing to do with them. The sports minister has said not going to go to the game. It's a matter for the FAI. It's a matter for UEFA. So the government can't order the FAI not to play the game, can they?
No, they can't do that. And I mean, multiple ministers and government representatives have now said they won't attend the match, which I think just highlights the hypocrisy of this government, because they can do things. I mean, what they certainly can start by doing is inoculating the FAI from any potential financial sanctions that UEFA may levy on them. And they haven't done that. They haven't offered to do that. They haven't engaged in that conversation with FAI, to my knowledge anyway, and I have examined them in committee on this, both ministers, McConnellogue and O'Donovan. But furthermore, they can step in, and there is precedent for this. A former Fianna Fáil government in 1999 prevented a Euro 2000 qualifying match between Ireland and Yugoslavia from taking place because of Serbian atrocities in Kosovo. So there is precedent here. And in that case, it was exactly the same situation where essentially the governing body had said that they won't take the decision to push back against their international body. And the government chose to essentially step in and say that we need you to make this decision. So I appreciate the governance question that arises here, that the government can't interfere with the governing body, but this is exceptional circumstances and there is precedent for it.
Okay, what about the penalties that will be imposed on the FAI by UEFA? Article 25, refusal to play in similar cases. If an association refuses to play or is responsible for a match, including a penalty shootout not taking place or not being played in full, the UEFA Control Ethics and Disciplinary Body declares the match forfeited by the association concerned. Moreover, UEFA may impose further disciplinary measures deemed appropriate on the association concerned, including disqualification from the competition upon receipt of a reason.
Yep.
absent and well-documented request from the aggrieved association, UEFA may set an amount of compensation due for financial loss. So financial and real-world penalties for the players and Ireland.
Yeah, absolutely. The but the financial sanctions are as yet unclear. We don't know what they would amount to. And I, again, I've asked the minister to try and find information on that so that we have a question of it. But as I've said, the state can step in and subsidise any potential financial loss to the FAI. Obviously, we fund this, the FAI as a state, and it would be an appropriate measure for the state to say, we appreciate what's being done here and we'll step in and cover that. And I do appreciate that there are additional sanctions which are not financially related. The dropping down in the league, the potential impact on future hosting capabilities,
and
of course, most importantly, the players' careers. Yes, exactly. But here's the thing, is by the FAI dodging this decision and the government dodging it essentially and hiding behind the FAI decision and that of UEFA, we are now handing this decision to the players. We are now saying to the players that they have to decide whether or not they want to step onto that pitch, and that's never where we wanted to be, and it is absolutely unfair to put that on the players. And we also know that the overwhelming majority of football fans, but also of players who were surveyed on this, do not support the match going ahead. I mean, a massive majority of 93% last year said that Israel should be excluded. That was membership of the FAI. Another 63% of
players. It's not a question. They're not excluded. UEFA have made this decision.
No, they're not excluded. But another survey earlier on this year of the Footballers Association of Ireland, which does not represent the national team or not everyone in the national team, but you can surely take it as a good measure of sentiment within the player community. 63% of those said that the fixture should not go ahead. So we know that the support is here to prevent this going ahead. This is what boycott is. It is solidarity. It is standing up. It is leadership. I mean, there are other sports where this is happening. Alan Dineen has said that the Irish wheelchair rugby will boycott, that they will not play Israel. And to do this on this stage would be massive. Like, we've seen the same handling of it in the women's game where Scotland are playing behind closed doors as they play Israel. Yeah. But for a men's team to stand up and do this, you would see a knock-on effect. And I don't believe the sanctions would be as bad as everyone says, because I believe it would catch.
What impact do you think this would really have, though, in the real world on Israel, if Ireland refused to play the game? What impact would it have for the people of Gaza? Would it not just be a token, a pointless token?
No, it's not a token. That's not what the BDS movement is.
You know what? I'll reverse engines. I'll get out of Lebanon. I'll stop attacking Gaza. I'll stop attacking... everyone agrees what's being done is absolutely horrendous. But not playing a soccer match, is that going to make a difference?
Yes, it is going to make a difference. It made a difference when Mary Manning refused to handle grapefruit from South Africa.
I understand that point, and that point's been made, but that was a different era and a different time, surely. It's a different world now, with different leaders.
The boycott movement remains the same. This is what it does. It says, we will not stand alongside this genocidal state, this apartheid regime. And that catches. And the next nation says that they won't. And eventually Israel does get excluded from these competitions. And what they then are exposed as is a pariah within the global community. That's what we need to do. So absolutely, it is the small actions of states like ours which can provide that leadership. Mary Manning and all of those Dunn's workers were lauded by South African leaders. And that's where we need to be, showing leadership, which this government has failed to do again and again.
Let me ask you this question, though. You talk about the overwhelming support of soccer fans for this game, and people are horrified. Is it the most important issue in this country? So a poll at the weekend, which shows your party climbing very high, up 3% to 12. Holly Cairns is now the most popular political party leader in the country by some distance. The same people, same voters were asked, what are the top two priorities that should be dealt with by any government? Housing, 49%. Cost of living, 45%. Immigration, 27%. Healthcare, 14%. Israel and Gaza war, 4%. There's two motions going before the Dáil this week from two opposition parties. Is it really the most important thing to be dealing with?
And there's also a debate on the Occupied Territories Bill, which the government promised 2 years ago and still hasn't delivered. The way the Dáil schedule works means that sometimes we do have a dominant issue in the week. My colleagues, Rory Hearn and others, work very hard on all of those issues you've just listed. My particular portfolio is sport, and this is the one that we're bringing forward, is to essentially pile pressure on this government to stop this game going ahead. There is massive public sentiment behind this, a huge Stop the Game campaign, which is just growing in momentum all of the time.
4% of people only said it was the most important issue for them. 49% housing, 45% cost of living. Huge amount of time in the last couple of years has been devoted towards Israel and its actions in the Dáil. The Irish government have gone further than many countries in the world in what they've done.
No, they haven't. They say that they have.
They recognise Palestine. They're supporting the case for it.
They recognise Palestine. And they were not the first to do that.
Are you saying they haven't gone further in other countries? Are you saying they haven't gone further in other countries?
I'm saying that they have not gone far enough. Like, we still have not gone
enough. But that's different to my point
that I made. We are still not sanctioning Israel. No, I mean, yes, we have gone further than some, but we have not gone anywhere near as far as we could or should to sanction Israel. This is the worst genocide in human history, and it is the worst because it is playing out on our screens on a daily basis.
Did you just say it was the worst genocide in human history? Worse than the Holocaust.
Because it is being played out on our screens.
Systematically
and we
murdered.
Are all witnesses. We are all witnesses to what is happening. Like the Gaza people, the people of Palestine are not saying help us because we need help. They're saying help us because global order is falling apart while this regime inflicts a genocide in front of our eyes. The atrocities are horrendous and we are all seeing it on a daily basis. We cannot hide behind it. We have to stand up to it.
Okay. All right, Sinead, you're coming to Kerry on Thursday. You're going to Kinmare. I know there's a meeting. You're going to be discussing the triple lock, which is another issue. The Irish government today are making moves to remove the UN power to veto Irish troops when they move abroad on international peacekeeping missions. You're concerned, obviously opposed to this and what's happening in Kinmare.
So our Kerry branch is organising the Social Democrats is organising a public meeting on Thursday where I'll be speaking. And this is a live issue for us, but it has become much more urgent actually this week because the Cabinet will be looking at this. So the government are hoping to, before the end of the year, essentially remove the triple lock. And what that means is that we will no longer require a UN mandate to deploy our troops. And that UN mandate and the triple lock is our guardrail that protects our Irish neutrality, that protects us from being drawn further into a defence union essentially within Europe. And obviously that's why it featured within the Nice and Lisbon treaty discussions. And it was a sovereign decision of this people to enshrine that triple lock into our law. And so we believe that if the government feel that it should be removed, that it should certainly be put to the people, but we do not believe that it should be removed in the first place. So that's what we'll be debating and talking about on Thursday when I visit Kerry. I'm a regular visitor to Kerry and to Kenmare specifically, so I'm really looking forward to getting down.
Sure. And what would you say to those who say, look, there'll still be two measures an Irish government have to pass and the triple lock is outdated? We now have America, no longer a reliable international partner with Western world or European interests at heart, and also Russia, a total rogue state, having a say over what we do with our troops internationally.
So no one in the opposition and no one who's opposed to this, and by the way, it's the entire opposition who are united on this, not just the left opposition, it is the entire opposition. And none of us deny that the UN needs reform. The Security Council and its veto need to be addressed. But it is clear in our 2006 Defence Act that the triple lock can be satisfied by a motion from the General Assembly. And our government has never even tried to do that. And it's not trying to reform the triple lock. So it's essentially saying multilateralism isn't working anymore. It's got too complex. We have, you know, we're dealing with these issues. So we're just going to walk away from it and we're going to retreat to our regional bloc of Europe. That is an issue for me. I mean, the UN was set up to prevent exactly that happening. And the triple lock was enshrined so that we wouldn't be pulled into that defence mentality of the European Union, and instead that it should remain a peace project. And that's why we'll be pushing back so hard.
Yeah. Can you stop it? Can you stop the government from this? Do you have the numbers to eventually prevent this from happening?
I don't believe we have the numbers at the moment, unless they introduce perhaps a vote of conscience on this particular one. But we will be doing everything in our power. Yeah, exactly. Because, I mean, Willie O'Dea, for example, has come out very strongly recently saying that he doesn't agree with it. The Taoiseach himself said that the triple lock was core to our neutrality about 10 years ago. A phrase and a quote that is haunting him now as he basically tries to con the Irish people by telling us that the triple lock has nothing to do with neutrality, that the government supports neutrality, when essentially they are absolutely dismantling it before our eyes.
Okay, Sinead, final question for you. You're 12% in the polls. As I said, your party leader is increasing in popularity. What are your plans for Kerry for the next local and perhaps maybe next general election?
Well, we'll certainly be looking to get... we'll be contesting in every constituency in the country, and I'd really encourage people to come along on Thursday, but also to come along and join the Kerry branch of the Social Democrats. We are, as you say, having a moment as a party in terms of just our growth, and people are recognising us as a really viable force in Irish politics. So I urge everyone who's interested to just come along and meet us and start getting involved. And absolutely, we'll be contesting in the next Kerry election, and I really look forward to backing our candidate there.
Okay, Sinead, listen, thanks very much for taking time to talk to us. We'll hear more, no doubt, about your visit on Thursday, but thanks for talking to me on those issues this morning.
Thank you, Gerry. All the best. Bye-bye.
That's Deputy Sinead Gibney, spokesperson on sport for the Social Democrats. She's a motion down for tomorrow morning trying to get the Ireland-Israel game stopped. If you have a view on what she had to say on a wide range of issues, give us your thoughts, 0667 123 666.